Bless the Lord. Following on from Pastor Ralph's sermon last week, Don't Waste Your Life. Great sermon. Today we're talking about wisdom. Switched on or switched off. And we're going to talk about this video is a very serious video here. Thanks, Richard. Very important study here we're going to look at here in this video. This is a very serious video about a study on tail wagging. I know you all wanted to know about this. It's a very important study here. Just try the video. If it doesn't work in a PowerPoint, try the video. Woo!
The neutral tail position when walking and watch it instantly change when he sees the dog in the driveway.
No.
Up and wagging.
Don't worry about it.
Did he look friendly there?
What else is going to happen? Well, I had a video on tail wagging, and it's interesting because I've had several dogs, and I know a little bit about dog language. Dogs use body language primarily, and I know a little bit. Anyway, I know a little, and I know this, that tail wagging does not always tell us the same thing. And often young people, children, can get this wrong. They imagine that a dog's tail, when it's wagging, automatically means that it's happy. And so we can sometimes get this one wrong, not read the language of an animal, not understand that tail doesn't always mean it's happy when it's wagging its tail. And it doesn't always mean that. And so sometimes we can get it wrong. This we can miss this dog language, especially, you know, this is so important when it comes to touching a dog, because if you go up to touch a dog when its tail is wagging, you think it's happy and it's not, well, you might get your hand bitten. And so this is very important that we understand this language, that we understand that we're switched on to this language of the animal. So it's very important. Even dogs, you know, even dogs can misread dog language. Did you know that? Even dogs can misread it. Young pups, when they're playing, if you haven't seen a young pup, and they just want to play. And so they go up to another dog and they just want to play. And they just think, play, play, play. All life is all about playing. And they don't see the signals. They don't see the other dog who's getting very annoyed and think, I wish you'd go away. And so even dogs can misread dog language. This is fascinating, isn't it? And so, these are the kind of things that even a dog can miss. I know, when I used to give my dog tea, that you'd say, sit. And of course, they put on all this kind of show, you know, yes, I'm going to sit. Yes, I'm going to sit. I'm ready. I'm obedient. And yet that tail is going so fast. And you know, that tail is going 100 miles an hour. And so they're giving themselves away. They're saying, look, you know, I'm really obedient. Yes. And yet that tail is giving them away. All that body language is saying something completely different. It's giving them away. So a dog, you can read what they're saying through that body language. And if you're not switched on to that, it's very important, especially when it comes to touching a dog. It's important that you know what's going on, that you understand the language, that you're switched on, that you can interpret it. And wisdom is sometimes something that's not completely obvious. Some things in church are caught rather than taught. Do you hear that? You pick them up. They're not always obvious. And you need to be switched on to be able to pick up these things. I remember a young person I had in my church back in Strath, and she was absolutely on fire. Completely and totally switched on. She was always offering to volunteer in the church, not afraid to ask a question. I mean, how many times? Sometimes, you know, you were kind of afraid to ask the question. And yet she wasn't afraid. She'd come and just ask those questions, you know. How does this work? What does this mean? How can I do this? You see what I'm saying? She was absolutely like an absolute sponge. How can I learn? And now she's just got married about 2 years ago, and she has her own business, and she is thriving. But, you know, it's not really a surprise that has happened, because you just knew when you were around her that something good was going to happen. You just could feel it, that something, she was going to go places. She was so switched on, hanging on every word that was spoken, every single part of church life. A state of mind that is open, teachable, open to God, not complacent. Today we're looking at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. And Pastor Ralph, can you read it for me?
For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm.
Amen. You know, I was walking a dog. This is my life, church. This is all I do. This is what I do for my job. I walk dogs. So I know dogs, okay? Every now and then you'll hear illustration about dogs because that's my life, dogs, okay? So I was walking the dog and we went past this little, it's a tram inlet, okay? You know the one I'm talking about down off Morfitt, near Morfitt Road, Glenelg. And so there's this tram inlet where the trams come in from their tram park, okay? And this intersection doesn't always go on, okay? It's not that regular, but every now and then a tram has to get onto the tracks from the tram park, okay? So I'm walking the dog and I walk down past this intersection and the light's gone red, okay? So the gate's open and in comes the tram and it's going. And this guy is just completely and totally oblivious on his phone, drives his car straight through the red light. And the tram driver, I could watch the tram driver, he just shook his head. I was in shock. I mean, that's the kind of thing you could get killed. But he was completely and totally switched off, had no idea. I mean, it's important that you think when you're driving that you know what a red light is. Yeah. What do you think about that? Yeah. That you could pick that up. Yeah. Hey, there's a warning there. Don't go through the red light. And you know, we have speed limit signs too, 60, 80. And I think it's pretty important, Pastor Ralph, that you pick them up, that you know that means 60. And if you don't know that, if you don't pick that up, well, you're going to be in trouble. There are important things that we should know. And in life, there's signals, important signals that we need to pick up on. Warnings, signposts, if you like. This is not the way. And at the same time, there are opportunities to grow and develop in life. You know, I look back at my life sometimes, I think if only I had picked that up earlier. Ever said that? If only I had picked that up sooner. And I can't go back. But you see what a difference it makes when you can pick these things up. And Jesus said this. Repeatedly, you'll see this statement in the New Testament. He who has ears, in other words, pay attention. Listen, this is important. Pay attention. Pick this up. So today we're talking about wisdom. Switched on, switched off. First thing is this. Listening. Switched on or switched off. I used to think I was a terrible preacher. Maybe I still am. I don't know. But I used to think I was a terrible preacher, and because I felt like when I was preaching, people were going to sleep. They were kind of just switched off, you know, and I just look at them and go, oh, God, what's happening here? And so I thought, you know, I must be an awful, terrible preacher. So what am I going to do? Well, I'll just bring other preachers along into my church. Mr. Bean, it's got to be Mr. Bean. And so I brought in some famous people, you know, Andrew Evans, Pastor Ralph, and some other really amazing, I mean, preachers who are way, way better than me. And so I thought to myself, because, you know, they're switching off and they're falling asleep during my sermons, this is the answer to this. You know, I'll just get these amazing, amazing preachers into my church and then everything will change. How wrong I was. They were still switched off, still asleep. I had a guy in my church who was always on his phone through the whole sermon. He was there on his phone. I mean, you can't really get more switched off than that, can you? Just on their phone the whole way through the sermon. I remember when I was in Marion. This is a true story. A true story. I had a guy came, Billy. His name was Billy. Okay, and he was an amazing guy. Let's put it that way. And he would just kind of drift into sleep halfway through Jeremy's sermon. And his head would kind of fall back so that his windpipe was all constricted, as it happens to snort, to get the snoring happening. And this guy could just go for it. And I remember Pastor Jeremy would have to rebuke him in the middle of his, "Billy, wake up. I'm not making this up. He could snore his head off, I'm telling you, right in the middle of the sermon." But you see, this is, you know, this is what happens. You know, we can sometimes, people can just switch off. But, you know, sometimes it's not that obvious. Sometimes it's not that obvious. And everything kind of seems normal on the outside. And yet there's this little thing inside people that goes... And I know, because I've, you know, I've been kind of preaching a little while, and I've observed, you know, there's certain things you say in church, you can see this thing goes, pick. Just talk about tithing. Just talk about giving. You see it. Click. Just bring up the subject of money. And you can just see it. People just switch off. It happens that they might put on this exterior and the eyes go straight ahead. See that? That's the signal. They're just switched off now. But you know, you can put on this kind of face that everything's okay, and yet you can be asleep. But you see, tithing, I want to say this, tithing is something of wisdom. Did you know that, church? Giving is actually something of wisdom. You pick that up? It's actually something positive. Let me explain that. It's an opportunity for you to stretch and grow and exercise faith. It's an opportunity for you to enjoy the joy of giving. More blessed to give than to receive. And it's an opportunity, as Winifred was sharing from 2 Corinthians, to flourish. And I wish I had time to talk about the amazing ways in which God has blessed me financially. So tithing, giving, is actually something of wisdom. It's something good. This is the language. We're talking about the language of animals. But the language of the kingdom is to give. This is wisdom, church. The language of the kingdom is generosity, service. This is the language. We're talking about animal language, how you've got to pick it up. You've got to understand the language, because the world does not use this language. The world's language is me. What can I get out of it? How can I benefit? That's the language that we're all used to. We all understand what that's talking about. It's called selfishness, self-centeredness. What I think makes sense to me, that's the language that we're all living in. But the language of the kingdom is giving. This is wisdom. How can I serve? How can I give? How can I serve while Pastor Ralph and Vilma are away? What can I do to assist, to help, to get, do the dishes, help in K4, serve at the door, service, service, service. I remember I was in a church under a certain leadership, and I've been under several senior ministers, and I was under Pastor Jeremy Griffiths, under Pastor George Halleck, I was under Pastor Gary Leach in Mount Barker, and I've been under several leaderships. Anyway, I was in this particular church, and it wasn't going well, let's put it that way. It wasn't going ideally. Is that a good way of saying it? And so this particular person in the leadership was kind of reactive, and he said, "Well, I don't like what's going on in this particular church and this leadership." Now, the pastor hadn't committed adultery, and he hadn't mismanaged church finances, and he hadn't preached heresy. It was really about personal things. And so he started to give these spiritual reasons. I mean, when all else fails, use spiritual reasons to leave a relationship, right? God told me. When all else fails, use a spiritual reason. Yeah. The language of the kingdom is relationships. I'm going to stay. I'm going to work through. I mean, this is what adults do, isn't it? A good, mature Christian. I mean, he wasn't preaching heresy. You see, he never did anything. It was just personal things. And so any adult, mature, wise person should be able to work through it. Do you know, good theologians, Pastor Ralph, read the heretics. Read the heretics. Now think about that. Good theologians read the heretics. Now why would you read the heretics? What possible good can it do you to read the heretics? I mean, these are people who've been condemned by the Orthodox Church as heretics. So why would you read them? Got your stuff there, haven't I? Why would you go and read the heretics? Because when you study, and I did this in Bible college, you will see something about the symptoms that lead to that heresy. Why it is that a person is in the church, drifts off into this direction, this particular heresy, whether it's Pelagianism, that's salvation by works, or the Arianism, where Jesus is not God. These are some of the heresies that have happened in church. Now, why would you read about a person like that? Because you see what happened. How did it come to be that that heresy began in the first place? And I want to tell you, church, heresies like this exist right now, today, in our life, in our generation, and the symptoms are there. So a wise person reads widely. I mean, they will read even things. I mean, anyone can read, watch a video that affirms everything that they already believe and like and agree with. That's easy, isn't it? Read a book that everything in the book you agree with and you like and affirms you and you like it. I mean, that's why you read it. How often do you read a book you don't like? Oh, why not? Do you know there's some things you can actually learn from the left side of politics? I've actually read Bill Clinton's book. I read the book. Oh, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? You can learn something from people you disagree with. That's what I'm saying. And so a wise person is simply saying, I don't know everything. Teach me. Help me to learn and grow. Even if it means reading a book that I don't complete. I mean, how many sermons do you hear on Romans chapter 7? Not many. Why? Because it's hard going. It's hard. You're going to read Romans chapter 7. It's meaty, hard stuff. I think we should read the whole Bible. I'm not saying we don't teach it. I'm just saying it's a good idea. And in my life, I read the whole Bible twice a year. And I believe we should read the whole thing. You hear what I'm saying? A listener, a person who really wants to learn, reads the whole thing as broad as they can. And not just the bits that feel good and feel nice and we agree with and make us feel happy. Listening. How can I listen? So they make every effort to listen. I mean, we've got it made here with Pastor Ralph. I have to say, and of all the preachers I've heard, this is my top 10, okay? You have got it made. This is one of the greatest preachers I've ever heard. So if I were you, I'd be hanging on every word. Listening, 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 listening. Teach me. Awesome. I mean, I have listened to him for 25 years, even before I was here in the church. He is an awesome teacher. Listening. Teach me, Pastor. Teach me. Be in church. Don't switch off when you feel uncomfortable. Learn to have that spirit. I'm a listener, even if it's something that makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. Woo. Second thing is this, knowing yourself, switched on or switched off. Oh, Pastor Ralph, can you read it for me? How slow can you do this one?
Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise.
Consider its ways and be wise. In other words, it's not wisdom to be lazy. It's not wisdom to exercise self-control over your physical being. It's not wisdom to not be exercising self-control. Now, I remember I used to work with a milkman. I worked in a servo for years, and I used to work alongside a milkman, and we spent many, many hours talking in the early, early hours of the morning, just talking. I used to have my Martin Lloyd Jones cassette player playing in the background as I was doing my cigarette count. And so we spent lots of time together, and he was a great milkman. He was there every day, 2 to 2:30 in the morning. He was there. Did his job so well, he was there, even if he had a cold, he was there, 2 to 2:30 in the morning, doing the milk order. He was there. He was a good, I mean, I just admire, I mean, I've rubbed shoulders in my life, I've rubbed shoulders with what you call the blue collar class all my life, and I really admire and want to emulate that simple Aussie battler, hard work ethic. I really admire that. And that, you know, I really admire people like they will get up every day and they're there 2:30 in the morning. Then he moved on, he retired, and someone took his place. And I want to tell you, I'll never forget that. Maybe 19, 20 years old. I'll never forget the first time I saw him. About 4 hours late. No, actually more like 5 hours late, I think. Maybe even longer. I think it was about 6:30 in the morning. And his hair was everywhere. And he was going really fast, trying to do it as fast as he could. You know, I mean, it's obvious what had happened. He completely slept in, completely missed it. And he was trying to catch up, you know. He completely missed it. I think I saw him maybe once, maybe twice. Didn't last long in that job. No self-discipline. But you see, we've got to know ourselves. We've got to put ourselves to bed at a reasonable hour. If you want to get up in the morning and go to church, or to get up and go to work, you've got to put yourself to bed. You know what I'm saying? You've got to make sure you go to bed at the right time if you want to get up early in the morning. That's knowing yourself. That's self-control. That is wisdom. Hallelujah. All kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles have tamed and been tamed by the tongue, but no one. Hear the language here? It's saying it's very, very difficult to tame the tongue. I was at work the other day. We had coffee break at work, and I just happened to be on the computer just doing something. I had to finish on the computer, and they're sitting around stabbing the boss in the back. Let's put it that way. Oh, you know, I don't get enough hours. And I don't, you know, I don't know how they can expect me to do this stuff. And it's just so ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. And I just wanted to get out of there. In fact, I felt like I was a sore thumb. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't entering into it. I wasn't getting into this gossip conversation. I wasn't stabbing that person in the back. I was trying to get my work done. And because I wasn't saying anything, I looked stupid, I guess. But I didn't want to get into that. And I tried to avoid those dangerous conversations. If ever they come up, I just avoid that. But you know, soon after, that conversation only just finished. And guess who walks in the door? The boss. I want to tell you, I was so glad. Oh, how you didn't get into that? Oh, how close were they to disaster? How close? Just a lack of self-control. I say gossip is like leaving the door open to your house and saying, thieves, come on in. Do you hear what I'm saying here? If you gossip, well, you're just inviting destruction into your life. You might as well just open the door to your home and say, thieves, come on in. If you get into gossip, you're stabbing people in the back and just saying things you shouldn't, well, you're inviting ruin. But as we looked at that text, the one who listens to me, wisdom, keeps himself from that. And I try very hard to hold my tongue. I just don't get into it. And I think that saved me a lot of grief in my life, simply to hold my self-control. Hallelujah. The wise man takes control of the tongue. He controls the body. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who, what is it? Well, those who use it in the right way will eat its fruit. Well, if you use it the wrong way, you'll eat the fruit of the bad things. If you use the tongue for good and positive, building up people and encouraging people, you'll eat the fruit of that. You'll eat the fruit of the good things that you say. Amen. So use your tongue for good, I reckon. That's what I'm trying to say. Say good things to people, you know, encourage them. Speak well of your boss. I appreciate my boss. I want to tell you, I've had good relationships with my employers, and I reckon that's stood me in good stead, you know. I wonder if I've done well in my financially. Can I say that? I wonder if I've done well financially simply because I held my tongue and said good things about my employer and tried to be positive. And I've hate the fruit. The fruit of that has been good. Self-control. Hallelujah. Knowing yourself, controlling the body. Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched. See, so is he. He sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches it. You know, I knew. True story, okay? I used to work as a screen printer, and there was a... I worked under a management, and the boss had a very attractive wife, and they were having issues in their marriage. And this guy in the factory just couldn't control himself. This is a true story. This really happened. I mean, I'll tell you, it was just awful. Awful. Playing around with the boss's wife. I mean, she was a flirt too, but she wasn't any better. What I'm saying is, what a silly thing to do. What a crazy thing to do, to get involved with the boss's wife. This is a true story, church. And one day he was in town and they met face to face in a dark alley, or basically in a place where it was just him and there. True story. I'm telling you, that guy was in hospital for a good couple of weeks, had to have facial surgery. That's a true story. I mean, can a man get away with that without his feet being scored? I mean, I'm saying you don't exercise self-control in these areas and you will reap from that. Oh, control the body, control the lust of the flesh. Exercise self-control. You'll save yourself a whole lot of pain. So then, church, let's learn to hold our tongue, control the body, flee from sexual immorality. Make sure you put yourself to bed at the right time. You know, psychologist Lisa, I think, correct me if I'm wrong. I could be wrong here, but psychologists and psychiatrists generally agree that one of the biggest reasons for mental illness and causes of mental illness and mental dysfunction is lack of sleep. Now, I think that generally that they would agree that that is a true thing. It's not probably, you know, I'm not to say definitively, but generally speaking, if you don't get enough sleep, it's detrimental. Can I say it like that? So put yourself to bed, okay? Exercise, control over those things. Know yourself, okay? My body can't do that. I can't push myself beyond a certain, so I've got to control it. Is that coming through? Go to bed at a good time. Amen. And lastly this, Jesus switched on or switched off. There was a rich man who lived in a very, very rich place. And he said to himself, I'll become a Christian one day when the time's right. And he had his life all organized. He was very rich, very successful, big house. Great big mansion, full of expensive furniture, 12 cars in the garage, lots of money in the bank. He had it made. He was living in the lap of luxury, absolute luxury. He said to himself, when the time is right, I'll become a Christian. But basically, for the most time of his life, he was switched off to Jesus. For the most of his life, he was switched off to God. Put God over here. Put God in a box. You know, when the time's right, I'll become a Christian. Got life really worked out. I'm really rich and powerful. It's all organized, and God's over here in this little box. And when the time is right, I'll become a Christian then. And so the day came. He actually got cancer. And the day came when he was lying on his bed and he was very sick with cancer and he knew that he would not survive. And so he picked up the phone and he called the minister and he says, look, come and see me. I'm about to die. I'm ready to become a Christian. True story. I'm ready to become a Christian. And so the pastor got in his car and he drove to the man's house. This great big house, big front yard, huge gardens. Went through the huge gardens of the huge mansion. And he's ushered in this great big house, great big mansion. There was the rich man, surrounded by his luxurious possessions. And he's lying there on his bed. And the minister goes up to the man and he says to him, here I am. Here I am. I have come. You said you wanted to see me, here I am. But the man said nothing. And the minister says a bit later, he says, here I am. You called me. You said you wanted to give your life to Jesus. Here I am. And the man said nothing. And so he begins to shout, here I am. You called me. Here I am. And the man said nothing. He's asleep. He's asleep. You know, the whole world is asleep to Jesus. The whole world is switched off. We saw from Pastor Vilma's sermon a few weeks ago that there are almost 24,000 historical manuscripts proving the legitimacy of the existence of Jesus Christ and of his teaching, and that far, far, far outweighs any other person in history. And yet people do studies on Plato and Julius Caesar and on Socrates, and they're switched off to Jesus. And so the man slept. In fact, later he slipped into a coma and died. It never hurt the minister. It's too late. You see that? All of his life he switched off. I think I can handle God. When the time is right, I'll become a Christian. Can't do that with God. Switched off. And I encourage us today, church, don't switch off to Jesus. Don't be complacent about Jesus. We need to pay attention to Jesus. Before I close this morning, if there's anybody here and you don't know Jesus, I want to say to you, don't put it off. Don't switch off. Don't be complacent. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, perhaps everyone's head could just bow just for a moment. Because I'm not doing this to embarrass anyone. I'm just saying, don't switch off. Don't put it off. Don't be complacent about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If you don't know Jesus this morning, I just encourage you, put up your hand. I want to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If you don't know Jesus, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I want to pray for you. Don't switch off. Don't switch off. Hallelujah. 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 You know, if you go to pet an animal and you're not switched on to what's really happening with that animal, you might get bitten. And so it matters to be wise about an animal. How much more does it matter to be switched on, to understand the language of the kingdom and of wisdom? How much more important is it to be wise? Amen. Listening. People get disappointed, they get exhausted, and they get stunted in their spiritual life because they're not picking up the signals. They're not picking it up. Listening. Switched on, switched off. Knowing yourself. Switched on or switched off? Jesus. Are you switched on or switched off? Let's pray. Father, I pray for your people this morning. Help us, Lord. Help us not to be complacent. Help us, Lord, to listen to wisdom, to be open. Say, Lord, teach me. Help me to grow. Help me to grow. Help me in my relationship with Jesus. Help me, Lord. I pray for your people. You encourage them this morning to just say, Lord, help me to learn the language of the kingdom. Help me to understand the language of the king, the language of heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing.